On Daf Chaf Hamid Beis, amongst the Psuei Edus, we have a category called Chamsonim. Now, a Chamson is basically someone, as we discussed in the past, who forces you to sell something. And the question is, do you actually pay for it? Now, if you pay for it, then you violate Lo Sachmo, because you desired to get his object and you went so far as to compel him to sell it to you, and you, even though you paid him for it, you violated Lo Sachmo. However, it doesn't seem that a Chamson, if he pays for his Gzela, if he pays for the sold object, should be considered a Gazla. Once he pays for it, then although he may be in violation of Lo Sachmo, but he's not in violation of Gzela. So if he's not in violation of Gzela, then the question is, what is his psul if he's not in violation of Gzela? So Tosus, as we'll soon see, is going to vacillate whether the violation of the Lava Lo Sachmo is enough, and in and of itself is enough to pass him. But first, let's take a minute by way of introduction and learn two, three lines of Gemara here. We're on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis, and it's the first of the wide lines. And it's the fourth word in that line. So again, if you're with the classical Talmud Bavli on Chaf Hei Amid Beis, the first of the wide lines. And the fifth word in the line, Hachamsonim. So the Gemara says that Chamsonim apostle to testify, may kara savur, meaning initially when the Chachamim did not pasul, they desisted from disqualifying a Chamson. Savur, they thought, dami kayoyev, since he's paying the money, therefore akroy bi almahu. This is not a regular kind of an addicted misbehavior. You know, he's not addicted to constantly, continuously misbehaving this way. Because how frequent is it that a person would force somebody to sell something and then throw the money in his face? As far as Gzela is concerned, since he paid for the money, there's no violation of Gzela. But this whole experience, this whole scenario that a person would force someone and then throw the money in his face, it's very rare. And it's a akroi bialmo. You know, this is not a consistent pattern that a person gets addicted to, that we should create a whole new psul of edus. So again, we could say that in the original situation, Chazal did not pasul a chamson for one of two reasons. Either because he's not an addicted sinner, you know, this is a very fluke, or because it's a milsalo shchicha, it's a kroi bialma. You know, this is like a fluke case. We don't make enactments for rare cases that just happen to happen. So at what point in time did the Chachamim say, hey, you know what? I think we better create this new disqualification. Keva dechazu dekachatvi. Once they realized that people are grabbing objects from people against their will and they're throwing the money, it became a kind of a fad, you know, it became like an accepted custom, and it was widespread, is gazru by Rabbanon, and then Rabbanon pasul the chamson. But it's absolutely clear that a chamson is pasul midrabbanon. There's no psul d'oraisa. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, just one second. Rashi Dibra Maskel Kavan, which is approximately, would I say, 20 lines up from the bottom. Rashi says, "Came the chazu the chatvi the shakli klomar afilu dami kayoiv." Even though they are giving money, so Rashi is now bothered by the question. Okay, they force a person, but they throw money in his face. That's not gzela. So why would the Rabbanan create a psul here? Zot Rashi osi lidei gazlonus. They're on the way to becoming thieves, so to speak. They're one step one small step away from becoming outright gazlon. Klomar, hayakasha lebailim limkar. The bailim really didn't want to sell. Ubal karcham chotfim. They come along, these guys. They muscle their way in, and they're so eager to get a hold of this object that they grab the object, zorkim os bifneihem. And it would seem that at this point in time, maybe, again, it's not crystal clear in Rashi, but maybe according to Rashi, they are gazlanim. But then again, you're going to have to ask yourself a question: if they are gazlanim, then that should constitute, qualify as a psul d'oraisa. Why would the Rabbanan have to add it? And the Gemara says explicitly, gazu bei Rabbanan. So it could be that Rashi is still maintaining that osi lide gazlonus, that they might come to gazlonus, but in this case they're not gazlonus because zarkin mos bifneihem. And once they throw the money, they're not considered gazlonim, but it's osi lide gazlonus. So the Rabbanan stepped up and they passed a chamson for Eidus. Now let's look at Tosfos. Speak me. Kara sover dummy koyavim. Tomer v'lifso midaraisa the kovra lo sachma. Lav lo sachma. Isn't this a deliberate violator of the lav of lo sachma? Even if I grant you that he pays the money, but insofar as he desired the object and he took action in order to obtain the object by grabbing it and then paying for it, he violates the Yisur of Lo Sachmon. Yeshlomer de Lo Sachmon Mashma, you know, it's the way it's understood by your rank and file citizen in Klal Yisur, Lo Yoevdom, is a case where I'm jealous of something that you have and I take it without paying for it. But for Chiyov Domi, it would seem in the mind of the average balabas in Klal Yisro, it would seem that lech alav v'la sachman klal. This is not a violation. In truth, he did violate lo sachmon, even though he gave money, but he doesn't know that. It's like a shogeg, or even more than an omer mutter. You know, he's convinced that he's above the law because he didn't violate any law. He gave the money. Now, I want you to turn to page Lamed Dalid. I'll just add three words from the previous page. He says, Vehine lahalon. I'm sorry, I should say Lamed Gil, my mistake. Vehine lahalon, Vedaf Chav Zayin. So the real sugya, the Machlok Shina Bai Varov, is going to appear later on in two blot. Mumar Ochel Nevelos Leteyavon. So we're talking about a person who is so he desires the velos so much, not that he's a lahachisnik. If you gave him two pieces of meat, one was kosher, one was treif, and they were worth the same amount, he would eat the kosher meat, whereas a mumar lahachis would rather eat the treif meat, and he gets special pleasure by violating the Torah. He's such a rebellious person. But here we're talking about a person who's motivated by pleasure. But for the sake of his pleasure, he's willing to sell himself to a nevela, you know, to violate the laws of kashrus. And what does he gain here? He gains money, because in the average situation, the nevela is much cheaper than basa shchuta. So for the sake of the love of money, he's going to be an ochel nevelos. And he's a mumar lekach. He has a track record, a criminal record. Is possible. So he's now disqualified. We can't trust him, and he has no credibility because he'll, pardon the expression, he'll sell his grandmother. In other words, he just needs money. He's like this. This reminds me of a drug addict. You know, he'll kill for money because he desperately needs to buy and fulfill his heroin addiction. So here too, he's addicted to nevelos. He can't afford the price of basar kosher, so he'll eat nevelo because he's a meat eater, and he doesn't have that much money, that many funds in his bank account. So such a person is really desperate for funds. That's called chemdas mamon. We've mentioned it on many occasions. Then the Gemara goes on Daf Kofzayin, goes on to discuss a mumar lahachas. So again, he wants to eat the treif of meat, not because he's addicted to treif of meat, he wants to make a statement, I rebel and reject the Torah. So by our apostle, right, because the Torah says, Al Toshes Rasha Eid. Rasha is a person who violates the Torah law. So this rebellious individual of a mumar lahachas is certainly a Rasha, and as a Rasha, he's possibly Eidus. Rava says no. If you read the Pasuk, then don't leave out the last word in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Al Teshes Yadcha Lios Rasha Chamas. So at the end of the Pasuk, it says he's a Rasha of Chamas, meaning somehow he's involved in the love of money. Here he's not in any way motivated by money. So it's really interesting. You could have a person, imagine this, according to Rava, this is not true la'alacha, but according to Rava, you could have a person who's an outright rebellious Jew. He does not accept the Torah law. He testifies in the Jewish court of law, and we accept his testimony. Why? Because the Rasha that was singled out as posel is a Rasha de Chamas. For the sake of money, he violates the Torah. He'll lie under oath, so to speak, when he testifies. But we're going to trust a person who's an absolute Rasha, in the sense that he violates the Torah law. And even if he does so because he rejects the Torah and he's a lahachasnik, we will trust him, according to Rav. That sounds very, very... it doesn't ring well in our ears, you know, to say such a thing. But Kaimel and Abaye, we accept the opinion of Abaye. This is one of the few exceptions. And even a Rasha who's not a Rasha of Chabas is possible. The Torah doesn't trust the Rasha. And this is very relevant today. You know, we have so many Jews never who are not Shomer Shabbos. Can we trust them in a Jewish court of law? And sometimes we need them desperately for testimony. What we call in modern Israel Chilonim. I hate to use that term, but... So that according to Rava, they don't have any credibility in a court of law because they're Rishayim. In Cain, Yesh Lomar. Now we go back to Tosus's Kasha that we saw before. You remember Tosus Dimaskal Meikora was bothered by the fact that these Chamsonim should be Pasul Doraisa. And Tosus says that even if they pay money for it, in other words, he doesn't just walk out with somebody's object, but he pays money, throws down the money, but nevertheless he is a Rasha because he violates Lo Sachmod. So this all makes sense if you accept Abai's opinion that any Rasha, for whatever law that he violates, is possibly Eidus, even if he is not in violation of Lav de Chamas. So as far as Chamos is concerned, the man is paying for the object. He throws the money on the seller's table, so to speak. And therefore he's not a rush to the Chamos. Which would mean that according to Rava, he would be kosherly Eidus. But Tosus is asking, we pass like Abaye. And Abaye holds that even a rush who's not a rush to the Chamos, if he violates a law of the Torah, he is possibly Eidus as a Rasha. In Kenya Shlomo, the Kush Satosis came in the over Allah the Losach and Avalay Rasha. The Afdain of Rasha shall Chamos, nevertheless, we should possibly in the Torah the Lav of Losach Mon. So anytime a Jew violates a Lav in the Torah deliberately, according to Abaye, he's possibly Eidus. And a Chamson who violates the Lav of Losach Mon, even in the event that he throws the money down on the guy's table, is possibly Eidus Bidoraisa. So why did the Rabbanon have to come along and create a category called a chamson? A chamson is clearly in violation of the Torah law of los sachmo. Now we're going to start with the Rambam. There are a number of Rambams that we have to take under consideration. The first is Perek Yud Milchus Eidus, then we'll see Perek Aleph Milchus Gzela, and then we have to see the comments of the Ravid. The Rambam in Hilchus Eidus writes that Rishoyim apostle edus minat Torah. And here he's codifying the halacha of Abaye. Al toshes yadcha im rasha liel seid chomus. Mi piyashmu lomdu al toshes rasha eid. And that means that we can drop the requirement of chomus. Ubalacha beis ezu rasha kol shavar aver shechayov alev malchus. See, this would give us an answer to Tosa's question about lo sachma, because do you get malchus for lo sachma? I don't know. That's going to be an issue. Zehu rasha upasas rei Torah kara lemechuyev malchus rasha mevur barav lo mikri rasha la baye. The kaimel kavaselim kain over aver sheish po malchus. Now, in the case of Lo Sachma, there's no Malkus, if we assume so. And therefore, there's no Psul Dorais of Edus in the case of someone who violates Lo Sachma. And he's not a Rosh of the Chomos, because he's paying for the object. So we really have an answer to Tosus' question, unless Tosus assumes that any Lav in the Torah that you violate your rush and your postulators, even if it's a lav shein bo malchus. L'chor nirvi said that Tosus pliga al ramus vile de chol sheover al lauta seshem at Torah afagav da havi lav shein bo malchus posul ben at Torah mishum hachi. In the case of lo sachmo, he should be posul because he violates a lav in the Torah. So again, let's just summarize. The way we're understanding it now, there's a machlokes between the Rambam and Tosfos about a lav that doesn't generate malchus. The Rambam ups the ante and he says to become a rasha, you know, you want to be zochet to be a rasha, you have to do it in a way that you come out with a band, you know, a seven-piece band, and you get malchus for it. You know, it's very pompous kind of violation of a lav that makes you into a rasha. Tosus, on the other hand, says any violation of any lav in the Torah makes you into a rasha. And then Afkamina is going to be the case of Lo Sachmod, which doesn't generate malchus. Tosus Lishitoso holds that Lo Sachmod as a violation of the Torah makes you into a rasha, hence the Apostle Yevus. He doesn't understand why we need the Rabbanan to pass a chamson who violates Lo Sachmod. Whereas, according to Rambam, Tosus' question about a chamson is completely. He's completely off base, because it's not enough to say that he's a Rasha because he violated a lav. You need what kind of lav, says the Rambam? A lav sheish bo malchus, and lo sachmon does not generate malchus. Now we get to the Rambam in Perek Aleph Mihilchus Gzela, and we want to begin to analyze whether or not you would get malchus for lo sachmon. And the Rambam is pretty outspoken about this. Kolachomed, etc., etc. And then he, because he desires, he covets a certain object of his friend, Hichbidola Bereim, the Hiftirbo. He applies what we call social pressure, peer pressure. And he gets his friends to pressure this guy to sell whatever the object is. Ad shalachomimenu. Afal bishan asalo damim rabin. Even if he gave him a lot of money for it, I raise that over Bilosa Seshenema Los Safma. So you're not allowed to desire something that belongs to someone else and cajole him and pressure him in this way or the other to sell it. Says the Rambam, let's underline these words, Ein Lokin Alav Ze. There is no Malchus on the Lotase of Los Safma. Menesha Ein Bo Maisa. The Eino Over Belav Zeh Sheyikach HaChefetz Shechomad, etc., etc. Says the Raivin, Om Avram, Lo Ra'isi Dover Tema Godol Bizeh, Mehechan Maise Godol Minetilas HaChefetz. Ribbono Shalom, the Rambam is saying that it's a Lav Shem of Maise, but yet the Rambam himself says that you're only in violation of the Lav Lo Sachmod when you get the person pressuring him to sell it to you. Well, that's a Maisa of Lekicha. Eichon Maisa Gadol Milekicha Netilas HaChefetz. Now, the truth be told, that I'm not sure if the lav is violated with lekichas achefetz. My humble opinion would be, and tell me if this makes sense, that the lav is violated when you desire his chefetz, and then you cajole him and pressure him to sell the chefetz, to part with the chefetz. But the actual lekichas achefetz is not the violation of the lav. So the Rambam would hold that it always remains a lav she'ein bo maisa, because any maisa like lekichas achefetz is secondary and independent of the averis halav. The averis halav is the desire to own that object that belongs to so and so, and to go out of your way to encourage, cajole, pressure him to sell. But the actual lekichas achefetz, when he does the act of taking that chefetz into his rishus, I'm not sure that that is the averis halav. So the Ravid assumes that the lekichas achefetz would convert this, upgrade this lav of lo sigzel to the level of a lav sheyesh bo maisa, of lo sachmon, excuse me, to the level of a lav sheyesh bo maisa. That's the Ravid shita. The Rambam l'shitasa might say, I'm not impressed with the logic of the Ravid. I don't believe for one moment that lekichas achefetz is the avera. The Torah prohibits chemdas alev, which is certainly clearly a lav shein bo maisa. Now the Torah adds a condition that you have to actively pursue until you finally obtain that object. Okay, those are different levels of chemda. You know, there's one person who says, "Wow, you know, you got a nice, pair of frames, you know, for your glasses." And he really wants to get a hold of those glasses for himself. That's one level of chemda. There's another level of chemda when a person sees that his friend has a beautiful automobile. David, if you don't mind, can you do that when I'm not giving shiur? If you don't mind.
I just did it because he came in the room.
I apologize.
Okay, great, thanks. Very good. He was riding in with you. It's like a person who on Shabbos wants to go into a place where there's an electric, so he waits till somebody goes in, and then he grabs onto his coattails and he goes in. So he was holding your coattails. So again, in one level of chemda, I desire to take something from you if you'll be willing to sell it to me. So I call you up and I say, is your car for sale, right? That's one level of chemda. The next level of chemda, he says, no, my car is not for sale. But he knows that this fellow who owns this beautiful car has a number of friends, and he hangs out with these friends, and he commissions them to go and pressure him to sell the car. That's another level. The third level is where he grabs the object and he throws the money on the table. So these are various levels of chemda. You know, to what extent is he so overwhelmed by his desire to obtain the chefetz? How far is he willing to go with this? But it doesn't mean that the actual sale is the avera. The sale is just a measurement of a level of how intense his chemda is. How far is his chemda going to drive him? So this is the Ravid. Aval hayelo lomar mipnei shu chayav b'tashlumin. Now the Ravid agrees that lo sachmo does not generate malchus. You don't get malchus for lo sachmo. But not for the reason of the Rambam. The Rambam says you don't get malchus because it's a lav shein bo maisa. The Ravid holds that lo sachmo is a lav shein bo maisa because ultimately he acquires and he takes the object for himself. But it's a lav shenitan l'tashlumin. Why? Because the Torah says that he has to replace the object, return the object. Now, wait a minute. If he stole the object and he never paid for it. Say it again.
If you steal an object, there's a masa. So before you said if there's no masa, there can't be a physical punishment as such.
Right. So there won't be malchus in the case of chemda, because chemda, the Rambam says, the lav shein bo maisa. Chemda means you covet the object. But the Ravid says that you're not chayv for lo sachmot until you get the person to sell you the object, and when you take the object through that sale, which is a result of chemda, you're doing a maisa. But the Ravid comes to a different conclusion. I mean, he comes to the same conclusion, but for a different reason. That you won't get malchus for lo sachmot, but that's because you have to return the object. And here the Ravid says, Gevaldige Chiddush. He says, not only does a Gazlan have to return the Gzela, and that's why you don't get Malkus for Gzela, but Gamzeh, even in the case of violating Lo Sachmod, Chayav Lo Hoshev is Achevitz Lo Baila, he has to return the object. So let's just summarize the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. So far at this point, we think that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid is only theoretical, it's not practical. They argue in theory, but not in practice. The Rambam holds you don't get Malkus for Lo Sachmod because the Lav Shein Bo Maisa. The Ravid holds you don't get Malkus for Lo Sachmod because you're Chayim in Tashlumin, Kegazon, it's a Lav Anitan Lo Tashlumin. But both of them, the Rambam and the Ravid, agree that you don't get Malkus at the end of the day for Lo Sachmod, which could answer Tosis Kasha Dima Maslame Kara. That means a chamson who pays the money and he only is in violation of Lo Sachmod will not be a posel, will not be a Rosh Doraisa. Why? Because even if I accept Abai's position, then an Ochel Nevelos Lahachis is a Rosha, even though he's not a chamson, and therefore any violation of any law in the Torah makes you into Rosh and your posel Yedu. So if he violates Lo Sachmod, the same should apply. But the answer is, what kind of law makes you into a Rosh Liedus? Only a lav sheyesh bo malchus, and lo sachmod is a lav sheyesh bo malchus. Okay, now we get to the third Rambam, and this is Perek Yud Milchus Eidus Halacha Dalit. And the Rambam says, "Od yesh rishoyim sheim psulim liedus afal pi sheim bnei tashlumim v'yeno bnei malchus." The Rambam says there is such a thing as a rasha whose posel liedus do raisa, even though he has not violated any aver which generates malchus. For example, it's a lav sheyesh lo tashlumin, which doesn't generate malchus. But hol v'lokchim mamon she'enish alehem bechamas psulim. Wow, the Rambam says that there's somebody who takes money bechamas, so we have to see what the Rambam means by that. And he takes money that doesn't belong to him. He takes mamon, he takes property or possessions that don't belong to him. And the Rambam says, even though he's chayav in a tashlum, and he has to repay the owner, and therefore it's a lav shein bo malchus, nevertheless he's posel yedus on a doraisa level. And where in the Torah did the Torah prohibit such, disqualify such a person as an eid? Shenemar ki yokum eid chamas be'ish. The Torah says there's something called an Eid Hamas. We describe him as an Eid Hamas, even if he doesn't live down south, right? He's an Eid Hamas. Kigon haganovim vehachamsonim. Achal pisha hichzir, even if he returns the object, posel yedus mi'eshe gonav o gozal. In other words, the Rambam says that a gazlan is posel yavera le'li edus, da'oraisa, even if he doesn't get malchus for that avera because lo sigzol is a lav sheyesh bo tashlumin, and nevertheless he is included under rasha dechamas. So we don't passel him because of the avera per se. The avera is an avera that doesn't generate malchus, but we passel him because he's a lokeach mamon she'eno shalom. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. The Rambam says that kigon haganovim vehachamsonim. Now, a ganov is someone who doesn't pay for the object. So that's clearly a lokeach mamon she'eno shalom. But what about the case of a chamson? Is he also considered lokeach mamon she'eno shalom? I'm not sure if the Rambam is referring to a chamson who violates Lo Sachmod. So the Rambam says that that violation is even if he pays for the object. So maybe, I don't know, I'm wondering here if you could stretch this Rambam to include under chamson even someone who pays for the object. He's still considered Lo Kef Mamon Shein Shalom because the seller did not agree to sell it. Mirtzono Atov, he didn't really want to sell it. He was coerced into selling it. And therefore, the chamson is to be categorized as lokeach mamon she'eino shalom. And the nafkamina is the following. that if you're talking about a rasha for violating a lav like lo sachma, then you would need malchus, and there's no malchus for lo sachma. But if you're talking about a violation of a lav of chamas, meaning that he's an eid chamas, because he's a lokeach mamon she'eno shelo, then it's quite possible that a chamson would be posel d'oraisa under the category of the description of lokeach mamon she'eno shelo, this despite the fact that he paid for the object, and despite the fact that he doesn't get malchus for lo sachmot. Which would mean that we're back to square one with Tosis's kasha. Why did the Rabbanon have to pasul chamson? The Torah pasuls chamson under the pasuk ki yakum ein chamas be'ish. Okay. Now at this point, we're going to invite the Tumim to enter stage. Now we spoke about this Tumim in the past, Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, and in Siman Lamed Daled in the Laws of Eidus, he says that not every case where you don't get Malkus for the Lav fits the Rambam's category that it's not a Rosh and therefore you're not Posel Eidus. I had a lot of negatives there. He says there's a case of a lav where you don't get malchus, but nevertheless you'd be posel yedus d'oraisa as a rasha. So when the Rambam says that if you don't get malchus, you're not posel, that's a case of a lav shebo maisa, like the case of chemda. Because there, the reason you don't get malchus is because you didn't do an action. It's a kula in the averis halav. But let's say, for example, we would have a lav that doesn't have a kula in it, but for a technical reason, he doesn't get malchus. For example, a lav anita lazharas misas bezdin. And there he doesn't get malchus because of the chumras havera. Or even the case of a lav hanitakli essay. There he doesn't get malchus because we're going to give an opportunity to fulfill the essay, but if he doesn't avail himself of that opportunity, he doesn't fulfill the essay, we'll give him malchus for the averis halav. So in such cases, despite the fact that he doesn't get malchus for technical reasons, he is still a rasha and he's posel yedus because of the averis halav. Now if we apply that logic to the case of a lav anitakli essay, that he's a rasha and it's considered as if he violated an averis yesh bo malchus and he's posel min haTorah, then that would come under the case of a rasha she'ein bo chamas. In other words, it's not because of the chamas, the love for money, that he is posel yedus, but he's posel yedus because of the violation of the lav. And every rasha we pass like Abaye is posel yedus once he violates a lav. Elo what? You need a lav she'esh bo malchus, and the answer is a lav anita glasa is considered a lav she'esh bo malchus. The Ravid says that lo sachmod is considered a lav she'esh bo maisa. But let's assume not like the Ravid. Lo sachmod is a lav she'ein bo maisa. Just one second. Sfirle, if we hold, the Ravid sheet is that what? Lo sachmod is a lav she'esh bo maisa, correct? So why don't you get malchus? The Ravid says because it's detail and tashlum, and you have to return the object that you forced him to sell you. Now, if you're going to tell me that the reason why there's no malchus for lo sachmod is in the Ravid's frame of reference because it's a lav hanitan l'tashlumin, in such a case it should be possible as a rasha on a doraisa level because of the violation of lo sachmot. Just one second. Ah, I see. What he's doing here, the Gevuras Yitzchak, I think he's extending the Tumim to the case of a lav hanitan l'tashlumin. The Tumim says in a lav she'nitakli essay, you really get malchus, but we're giving you the opportunity to do the essay. he's extending it to the case of a lav anita l'tashlumin, where the Torah says instead of giving you malchus, we'll ask you to rectify the avera, the lav, by returning the object. So that if in the case of chamson who violates lo sachmo, the Torah is going to require him to return the object, and he doesn't get malchus according to the Ravid because it's a lav anita l'tashlumin, then that lav is like lav sheyesh bo lav she nitak liesei, which according to the Tumim would generate a psul rasha, because the fact that it's a lav anita liesei is not going to lower the level of the lav and make it into an iser kal, but rather to afford him with an opportunity of rectifying the averis alav. Then if we apply that logic in lo sachmod, where the Ravid says the lo sachmod doesn't get malchus because it's a lav anita l'tashlum, he's got to return the object, just like a gazlan has to return the object, so too a chamson has to return the object, then it is a lav sheyesh bo malchus, or at least it has the level of chumrah of a lav sheyesh bo malchus, and there should be possibly eidus. So that if we identify the sheet of Tosus Dibra Maskel Meikor with the sheet that's arriving in Losach mode, we begin to appreciate Tosus's Kasha. Why did the Rabbanan have to introduce a psul of Chamson? The psul of Chamson should be Doraisa because he violates the law of Losach mode. Ivim Tomer Losach mode doesn't generate Malkus. So until now we said that Tosus holds is a Rosh who's postulated even without Malkus. No. Tosus agrees to the Rambam Shita fundamentally that you need a lav sheyesh bo malchus in order to pass you as a rosh. But Tosus holds that lo sachmod is a lav sheyesh bo malchus. How could that be? There is no malchus for lo sachmod. Everybody agrees there's no malchus for lo sachmod. The answer is, we're not going to take the Rambam's view and push it into Tosus, that lo sachmod doesn't get malchus because the lav sheyesh bo maisa, which makes it into an iser kal. But rather, we're going to take the Ravid Shita that the reason why you don't get Malkus in Lo Sach mode is because it's a lav anita l'tashlum, and the Torah says replace the object and give it back to its owner. That means that the Torah is just simply giving him an opportunity to rectify the Aver Salah by returning the object. But that doesn't make the lav into a lav kal, an Iser kal. And therefore, Tosus thinks that a chamson should be possibly Yedus Doraisa insofar as he violated the Yisur Lo Sachman, and that forces Tosus to say that your average Joe thinks, and he convinces himself, that since he paid the money to the seller, he doesn't violate Lo Sachman. So he's like a shogeg. And now we're up to paragraph Vehine Arayvit. The Arayvit says, on the Rambam, V'lo Omar Rotzani. Never did the seller enunciate those two critical words, Rotzani. You know, after all the pressure and everything else, he never actually agreed and consented to sell the object. So the super commentary on the Rambam, that's the Magid Mishnah, tries to explain the Ravid's perspective. He says, if a person, although he was pressured to do so, finally agrees to sell the object, Rotzani, then the sale is a valid sale. For example, the Gemara has in Bava Basra a case where they put a gun to his head and he agreed to, in order to save his own life, to sell. So the sale is valid, believe it or not. Why? Because he says Rotzani. He'd rather sell it than die. But, says the Ravid, we're talking about a case where he never said Rotzani, despite all the pressure. So the chamson, therefore, has to return the object because it was no valid sale. So it's really interesting. If you were to force a person to sell something at gunpoint and he finally said, Rotzani, okay, don't kill me, I agreed to sell it, you would not have to return that object. You have now acquired that object. That's called Talyu V'Zavin Zvini Zvini, and it's legally yours. But in the case of a chamson, says the Ravid, where he never said, Rotzani, and basically you absconded with his object, you have to return that object, which makes the lav lo sachmod into lav shenitan l'tashlumin. So the Ravid and the Rambam both go l'shitasam. In other words, they go with one shita. I'm sorry, l'tamayu, each one to his own shita. The Ravid holds that the iser lo sachmod is a lav sheyesh bo maisa. Why? Because he takes the object. And what does it mean that the seller never agreed to sell it, and therefore he takes the object. That taking is like an act of gzela.
But it isn't taking a masa, Rebbe.
Say it again.
Taking is a masa.
And therefore it's a lav sheish bo masa. The Rebbe has to come up with a whole new idea as to why you don't get malchus v'lo sachmon. And he says because you have to return it, it's a lav hanitan l'tashlumin. Mishum hachi svirleshim omar rotzani ameka kaim v'lekha gzela shalukev potur. In other words, there would not be a violation of sachmod if the person finally agreed to sell it, even though you pressured him, because then the sale is a valid sale. The Rebbe holds that the essence of the isur lo sachmod is taking the object that belongs to someone else, and therefore, hence, you have to return it when you do tshuva. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds lo sachmod is not a lav sheyesh bo maisa. Why? Because the Rebbe holds that we're not talking about gzela here. The Rambam holds we're not talking about gzela here. Meaning, according to the Rambam, for whatever reason he was pressured to sell it, he agreed to sell it. There's no gzela here. He doesn't have to return the object. It's not therefore a lav anitan l'tashlumin. The reason why you don't get malchus is because the lav is in the chemda, and the actual taking of the object is not a violation of a lav because it's not gzela, because finally and ultimately the seller agreed to sell it. Hence there's no chiyuv tashlumin, it's a lav shein bo maisa, and that makes it into an iser kal. So what is the nature of the iser according to the Rambam? It's the chemdas halev and the shtadlus that he tries so hard to get a hold of the object and obtain it for his, and at the end he finally succeeded. He was meratza the seller, and the seller agreed baratzon to sell it. What is the shear of ishtadlus? How far does he have to go to try to implement his desire to obtain ownership on the object? He has to purchase it, but the purchase itself is a valid purchase. But the avera is still the avera of los sachmod. Says the Rambam, even if the mocher declares his consent to sell the object, nevertheless there's a violation of the law, because if you are suffering from such chemda to the point in which you got this guy who never intended to sell it to agree to sell it, then you violate lo sachmo. But ameka kayo, according to Tosfos, according to the Rambam Shita, the sale is absolutely valid. Tosfos writes that if he says rotzani, he doesn't violate the lav of lo sachmod. Because Tosfos holds like the Rebbe that the avera of lo sachmod is basically another form of the avera of gzela, where he takes something where the sale was totally void. If on the other hand he would have said rotzani and the sale was valid, then there would be no gzela, there would be no lo sachmod. So in effect, the case of lo sachmod is a lav sheyesh bo maisa. Why? Because when you take it, you're violating a gzela. The seller never agreed to sell it. That's the Rambam and the Rebbe. But he doesn't get malchus for another reason, namely because the lav anitan litashlumin. Now, if the avera here is an avera sheyesh bo malchus for two reasons. Number one, because there's a maisa here of netila sachefet, it's maisa gzela, and the fact that it's nitan l'tashlumin, as we saw in the Tumim, does not lower the level of the avera. Hence, he's a rush and he's possibly edus min haTorah, even though he's not a lav of chamas. It's not a violation of chamas. Now, I don't know what he means here, and this is what I want to leave you with food for thought. The last, let's say, six words in the paragraph, he says, "Aftavi rosha she'eno shel chamas." Now let's just figure this out. Why is this called an avera she'eno shel chamas? In other words, it's not really a full-fledged gazla, because a gazla doesn't pay for the object. Here he pays for the object. Again, the sale is not valid, so he is in a quasi gazla when he takes the object. It's a lav sheyesh bo maisa. And he has to return it even though he paid the money, but that's because the sale was invalid because the seller never declared rotzani. But it's not a rush of chamas because he paid for the money. So that far he's not willing to go to violate the Torah law for the sake of money. That he's not doing. He's paying the full price. But he violates lo sachmod in a kind of gzela because he throws the money in the mocher's on the mocher's table, and the mocher never agreed to sell. And hence Tosis thinks that since a chamson violates lo sachmod, and lo sachmod doesn't get malchus because it's a lavan itan l'tashlumin, which means it's ke'en gzela, and it's a lav sheyesh bo maisa, that puts it on a level equal to a lav sheyesh bo malchus, and therefore he's posel b'toras rosha b'deraisa, even though he put the money on the table, and he's not a rosha d'chamos. Hence we understand what underlies Tosis is thinking here in Meikara, when he asks the Kasha, why did the Rabbanan feel compelled to introduce a psul of Chamson when a Chamson is posel d'oraisa because of violating Lo Sachmon? Because the Tosis holds like the Ravid that Lo Sachmon is a lav sheyesh bo maisa, which means that the Mocher never said Rotsani and the sale is not valid, and therefore the Chamson is taking the object against the law. He has no law, no right legally according to Allah to take the object, even if he throws the money on the table. The sale is invalid. It was never a rotsani. It's a lav sheyesh bo maisa. The Ravid holds you don't get malchus because a lav anitan l'tashlumin. But as we saw in the Tumim, lav anitan l'tashlumin doesn't allow the lav to dip below the level of malchus. The Torah is just affording you with an option to rectify the lav, but the lav itself in and of itself inherently generates malchus, and therefore you're a Rasha. You're not a Rasha the Chamas because you paid the money, but you're a Rasha. Tosis asks, therefore, why did the Rabbanan feel compelled to come up with this psul, this category of Chamsa? So let's just make a note of where we got up to. We're on page Lamed Dalet. And we're up to Venera Oat. So Blineta maybe will be able. Oh, wait a second. Tomorrow is what?
Wednesday.
Tomorrow is Wednesday. Tomorrow I can't be here. I have an appointment in another part of town. So we'll see when we can get a chance to fit this in. Okay then? So let me say thank you to everybody and wish you a great day. Yemirtz Hashem at 11:45, we'll have a shir in Bav Metzia. I'd like to start a little bit earlier to do a little chazara, so that by 11:45 we can start the new suit. Okay then?